Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Happy New Year to everybody. And let's get to your calls. Everything has been that we've talked about so far, even things we just kind of mentioned in passing, are posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. It takes a little bit of delay to get there, but they will display. If you follow us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Network Facebook group, you can ask to join that group. It's a private group. You can also help each other within the group. We've got that going now. And kind of brought it back from many years of kind of just being paused. So it's a great repository. All the links are there as well. And if you follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at Tab Computer Sys, it'll go ahead and get into your news feed. Feel free to share it and like it and let Elon know that we're there. We're trying not to bring up the whole Hertz thing, Elon. We're trying not to. But we probably will. But let's move on to Stefan first. What's going on, Stefan?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I've got questions.
You got questions? All right. We'll try to answer them.
All right. So on my old plastic HP 17-inch, I called you about this before. I reloaded Windows 10 twice.
Yep.
And occasionally when it shuts down, now when I shut this down, I have to go into settings. And then I have to push shutdown, because if I push the power button, this I get the blue screen with the sideways frowning face, and it's kernel security failure again.
Mm. Is that TPM module probably missing?
No.
No?
Okay. I'll tell you exactly what it is. There's something going on with the power management logic, both within the motherboard and in Windows, or somewhere in between them, that's causing that. When you push the power button, it doesn't just, you know, kill the power instantly. There is a signal that goes to the motherboard, and the motherboard notifies the operating system that power shutdown has been requested, and then it goes through some processes. There is a breakdown in that signal, and that's what's causing
the blue screen.
The blue screen. And my hunch is you got a hardware problem in that motherboard.
Oh, okay. So
Because the reason I say that is because you've reloaded it twice. So we've ruled out the operating system and the software.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have both of my HPs, one for music and the regular one, never sleep. Because if I'm running any kind of music software on there, they just say it's a bad idea, and that's the way you should set it up. Like Sweetwater has a whole big thing on that about computers and music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's a hardware problem, so it's just something I'm going to have to live with. Because I only use it really for, like, watching movies and doing, just basic stuff.
Okay.
Your thoughts on CPUID. the hardware monitor.
Hmm. Say that again.
CPUID. It's a hardware monitor. Hmm. And it was suggested to me from like Sweetwater so I can check, you know, the load on my CPU.
CPUID is fine stuff.
Okay. All right. Because I found out that I have like USB 3 with the super speed. I have two of those ports, and I also have two Thunderbolt USB-C ports on my new HP, so that was quite a revelation. But they will work backwards with USB 2, right? They should?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the computer can't run USB, it can't run Thunderbolt, like going to a hard drive, and then USB 2 running from my interface, so it can only run at one speed, right?
Well, one USB port can only have one status, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but other ports, like, because I have two USB-C, two Thunderbolt ports.
Okay,
yeah.
Can that run at Thunderbolt speed to, like, a hard drive, not internal, external?
Yeah, right.
And then my USB 3, because I have a USB 2 interface device, it'll run at USB 2 speed.
Correct. Yeah. It'll step down to the lowest of whatever's connected.
Yep.
Okay, great. That's great. Also, I was wondering, my sister has an old smart TV, and if it doesn't have Bluetooth on it, is there a Bluetooth hardware device that I could get to, like, plug it into the phone's jack or whatever on there, or no?
What are you trying to do? Why do you need Bluetooth on your smart TV?
For wireless headphones.
Ah, yep. Okay, fair enough.
So I got to check if it does indeed have Bluetooth on it.
I think you could get some kind of a dongle that would plug into the sound output of the TV.
Right.
And the dongle would have a Bluetooth transmitter in it, and then it would, I think you can do that.
That must be an old TV.
Yeah, it's an old Roku TV. It was given to her by a friend of hers. It's a TCL Roku TV.
Hmm. Okay.
And, you know, just so, because she's injured right now, and so she doesn't have to get up and, you know, adjust the volume or something like that on the TV. I got her a set of wireless headphones so she could just put them on and use the remote to adjust the volume.
Yeah. So if they have an output, if there's a sound output, the way Dennis mentioned, you'd then have an older style dongle to then send it wirelessly through Bluetooth if that exists. That could work. It could work.
Okay.
I think I've done something like that in the old TVs.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
It certainly could work, yeah.
All right, and whichever one of you two is a big Rush geek. Oh, I just do have one more question. Can you shut off Bing AI or no?
Say that again?
Can you shut off the AI in Bing?
Can you shut off the AI in Bing? We'd have to find that out. Yeah, there probably is a switch.
It's really intrusive. Mm. I mean, even though I have DDG running as my primary search engine, I mean, I turn it on, and that thing is just like throwing stuff at me that I don't want to see. I don't want to interact with it.
Right. I bet you we can give you an article as to how to turn it off. I can't imagine it's going to force to stay on.
Okay. And whichever one of you two is a big Rush geek, Getty Lee's My Effin' Life.
Yes, it's pretty cool. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it.
It does have his real Jewish name in there.
Yeah, and Gary.
Yeah, it's not Gary. It's Gershon.
Wait, we just heard from another caller it was Gary, and even he himself
said it
was Gary.
Yeah, and Gary Lee Weinreich.
Yeah.
Okay. That is his Anglicanized name.
I see.
But
yes.
His real birth name is Gershon Elizer Weinreich or Weinrib.
That's a mouthful. I can see why his mom called him Getty.
Well, it's Gary, but because she had a very heavy Yiddish accent.
Yep.
When she would say Gary, it would come out as Getty.
I know.
And everybody said, "Did she just call you Getty?"
Getty.
Yep.
I love it.
So that's how that happened. But get that book.
I will.
Because it's it's really enlightening in his life and, you know, how he's become the man that he is today.
Yeah.
Because of his experiences. So it's a really good book. So I highly recommend it.
I'm going to check it out.
All righty. Thank you, too, very much.
All right. Thank you, Stefan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Getty.
Getty.
Getty, Getty, Getty. So, you know, I kind of, you might have heard this on the news. Hertz is dumping a bunch of electric vehicles, at least a third of them. And that we recently just saw Tom Brady hawking them, right? I remember him hawking these vehicles. And from what we're hearing about this is that they don't really have good resale value, and they're really expensive to fix. Now, I know early on in the electric car craze, everyone was telling me, well, Eric, they don't break down. There's no issues. They don't have anything, no maintenance requirements. Yeah, yeah, but you get in a fender bender, good luck. Or you damage that battery in some way, you're really out of luck. So it turns out Hertz realized that. Now, I could have told them that. Didn't really need to be, you know, that sharp of a tack to know this is the scenario you're going to find. Also, low demand. I mean, there's probably tons of folks who are worried about whether or not the thing's even charged up enough. Or if you're renting it in a cold climate, does it really have 100 miles to go, or does that really mean 25? I mean, we're hearing the stories about what the football games are going to be, you know, minus 20 degrees. Is your electric car really going to go very far? I don't know. But again, we subsidize the heck out of them of taxpayer money to have people who could afford them buy $80,000, $90,000 vehicles. So we're subsidizing the rich for these things. Hertz says, oh, I'll go put my Green Beret on and I'll offer these things to people to rent. And only a few years later, they're saying, not such a good idea. So, hey, you know, electric car is fine. You want to have an electric car? Fine. I'm nervous just having my electric bike sit in my garage. If you look at just the lithium batteries that are going on out there, right, the scooters and all these things, you know, it's a concern, you know. Imagine a whole electric vehicle sitting. I mean, there have been stories of that happening, just catching fire.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things to fix on this. I'm sure we'll get there. I'd prefer a hydrogen economy. That's me. there's plenty of other solutions out there besides these big, massive batteries, not to mention how heavy they are. Just the weight on our roads of these vehicles is just ridiculous. Imagine these trucks, too. So, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what we're doing to ourselves, but we're doing some weird stuff. Hertz has realized what they did to themselves, and I'm sure others are going to realize it as well. And but I'm not saying you shouldn't get the cars. They're pretty cool. I would hate to have a problem with the battery. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to more of your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. Dave, hang on. Three lines open for you. We'll be right back.
The Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios. Visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. What is it with Green Day? Is there some sort of birthday, Carolyn, for Green Day? Oh, yeah, Carolyn's feeling Green Day today. But that's fine. They're cool. Cool band. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. If you want to chat about Hertz getting rid of their a third of their electric vehicle fleet is what I'm hearing. Good luck if they can sell them. you know, they've done the math rather fast on how this is all either working or not working. And then you look at our electric bills in Connecticut. I mean, you plug that electric vehicle into your Connecticut, you know, Eversource power source there, and you can probably watch your meter spinning like crazy. But that's, you know, whatever. Can I say, let's go to Dave next in Hartford. What's happening, Dave?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, wow.
You've finally come up with an issue that I'm hoping you can help me with.
All right. Well, so let's try not to disappoint Dave.
All right. I received an iPad Air 5th generation for Christmas. Beautiful device.
Nice.
Has a Type-C charger.
Yep. Right.
And apparently the only charger that works with this device is the one that came with it.
Sounds about right.
It's possible.
I've seen that.
Yep.
Because my other Type-C cables, they work with every other Type-C charging device that I have. Right. Have you heard of that?
Well, we've heard of stories of Apple and their chargers, right? They make a big chunk of money on these chargers. Could it? I wouldn't put it past them. Now I'm waiting for Mike G to chime in. He might know if Apple chargers work with Apple devices. But I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
The thing is, I have an iPhone as well, and that works with every other Lightning device that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
But the Lightning interface is their own.
Right.
Type C interface is everybody's.
Right.
Hmm.
That's a difference.
Right.
So,
because, you know, when you're sitting down, you know, this thing's only like, I think, a meter long. And sometimes when you're sitting down, you want to plug in, you know, while you're browsing or doing whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just not long enough for me. So that's when I tried another one. I said, well, this isn't working.
Right.
And so I was also at a retailer now, and I saw that they make a 2 meter. Now, they make two cables. There's a 60-watt and a 240-watt. Can you tell me what the difference is between the two in terms of performance or?
Well, it could have to do with how fast it'll charge the device. And, of course, the distances for the cables, Apple wants to say, oh, you know, I suspect Dave wants to sit in his easy chair and it's a little further away from the outlet. So let's sell him a $40 charger or a $50 charger. That'll reach. It's a profit center for him.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Well, anything with Apple is the case. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they make great quality products and stuff like that, but they have, you know, they do charge a pretty penny for them. So it's not that surprising. I haven't heard back yet from Mike G. And are you looking, Dennis, to see if it's proprietary?
I'm looking too, and I'm not seeing anything.
Says it is.
Yeah, I see a couple of articles that talk about how Apple discourages people from using third-party chargers for things, their stuff, but nothing specifically about this situation. Just kind of a general thing about what they encourage their customers to do or not do in this case.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I got the 240 watt, if I went ahead and bought the 240 watt, that's not going to like fry the device or anything of that nature.
Well, just make sure it's compatible with that device. I don't know. I would tell you.
It is an Apple, so.
It is an Apple. It is an Apple. I'm trying to check here, too. But some devices can take the speed and the fast charging, being that this is the latest gen. I would expect it probably can handle it. It's all about fast charging, I would think.
Right.
But 240 watts does seem high.
That would be a lot to charge up a MacBook Air.
Yeah, most chargers are not that many watts. Oh, there's 161.
Some of them are like 65, 85.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot. So I would just confirm when you buy it from the Apple store that it won't fry your device. We can't be certain unless it's specific. As geeks, we would check the specs, right? And usually the device will have accessories that work with it. So if you look at the accessories and it's listed, you're good. If it's not listed, I'd be cautious.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, and good luck. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. That sounds like a lot of wattage for a charger. Doesn't it?
Yeah, especially for a MacBook Air.
So, now Mike says they need a lot of some of the Macs need a lot of wattage. All right. And again, for the speed, you want to have it charged quickly. That's the other issue. So feel free to get online, guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock on this. It's going to get nicer today, but a little dreary this morning. Feel free to get online. I'll help you out. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And also, if you follow us within the Facebook page, which is the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we post it as well there. And if you follow us on X, it's going to go to your news feed. You can like it and share it out if you think it's worthy. And then we'll be here to help you out. And if you happen to have an electric vehicle and you found, you know, repairing it can be expensive, and some of the things that, if you found out some of the things Hertz found out, I'd be interested to hear your story. We'll be right back. Ah, yes.
Here we go.
It's not yes, though. A little YYZ for you, thanks to Stefan. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We talked about all sorts of stuff today. Dennis just showed me about something to do with Outlook and privacy, and that's not going well with Proton. Not Proton's not happy with Outlook as far as what they're doing, talking about it sharing user data. According to Proton, some users in Europe who download the new Outlook for Windows app will see a module pop up that displays a user agreement, which mentions that Microsoft shares your data with 772 third parties. So, again, this is ridiculous, right? So on top of renting it, right, you're renting Microsoft 365 or what have you, on top of it, thanks to the European requirements for disclosure.
Yes.
This is the only reason it's popping
so,
up.
So, hey, another reason why I love GDPR.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You got to disclose. So you're going to get a pop-up. It says, hey, Microsoft shares your data with 772 third parties. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. So, I mean, I had this discussion with a client yesterday, you know, talking about the cloud. Oh, Eric, you're not that hot on the cloud. I'm like, well, here are some of the reasons. The cloud is the cloud, but you click on that EULA, that user license agreement. Today, it says they won't use your email to train their AI. The next time they update it, it says they will, but you're not reading the EULA.
No.
And somehow, Microsoft feels 772 third parties need access to your data.
700. Oh.
You can't even make that up.
It's staggering. And one of the issues with this, if I can back the cart up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that this is not about the traditional Outlook app that a lot of us are familiar with.
Application.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not the traditional Outlook that most of us are familiar with in the working world.
Right.
This is a separate free application that Microsoft is slowly rolling out to computers.
Yeah.
And it is going to replace what used to be Windows Mail. Their Windows Calendar and Windows Contacts.
Yep.
It's going to be a 3-in-1 thing. Now, the problem with it is that a lot of people see they'll have a computer with Outlook on it already, the real Outlook. And then later on they'll see that Outlook New is now in their start menu and they'll wonder what that is, what can I do with it, whatever.
Right.
And one of the issues about it is that we've bumped into a couple times is that Outlook New will not connect with an on-premise Exchange mailbox.
Gotcha.
It will connect with 365 mailboxes just fine.
Right.
It'll connect with an IMAP mailbox just fine.
But not their own Exchange.
But not their own Exchange servers that you might have in your company. It will not talk to it.
It's amazing. You also can't load the app on a Chromebook.
Correct.
Good luck trying that.
Yeah, that it doesn't work on that either. And it snagged us a couple times because people that had, you know, businesses that have an on-premise Exchange server suddenly saw this and they thought, oh, well, now I don't have to buy Outlook for my employees. I can just use this.
Right.
Well, we found out, no, you can't.
No, you got to pay.
Nope. You got to pay. You got to buy the real Outlook somehow.
Yeah, so basically you're looking at 772 folks who are going to be interested in what you're doing with this tool, and we'll put the link up here for you, and then you have to ask yourself, what are we doing, and what is Microsoft?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doing what? Just give me a tool that works, for crying out loud, that actually sends mail from point A to point B securely. Do you really need to share all this information with other companies? I didn't ask you to do that.
Not only that, how hard is that even to do at this point? Come on.
How hard is it to create an email system that works?
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
How hard is it to create an application that talks to an Exchange mailbox?
Well, there's that. Well, again, that's all their direction.
It's
right?
It's built in a limitation. It's artificial, I know.
They just want to, okay, you want the free stuff doesn't work with corporate. The corporate's got to pay.
Right.
Pay up. So we'll put the link up there for you to read the story. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Chris in Weathersfield. Hey, Chris, what's up?
For those of us who still have landlines,
yeah. There
is something new that's being advertised that for $39, you can attach, this is from a company out of Cambridge, Mass, you can attach a box to your phone. You pay for the box, $99, and then for $39 a month, this base unit will let your give all the features of call, all the features that your old AT&T phones used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Very low price, and I want to know what. And plus, it won't go out in a storm because it has a 12-hour battery in it. What technology are they using?
I was curious about that myself, Chris, because copper is being deprecated. It's going away. So I've heard the advertisements, and I've thought the same things you've thought. Like, how are they doing that? I didn't even know they gave you a box. I haven't even looked into it, but I had the same thoughts as you. They print in a box. And I'm just saying, if they are going to an internet service, like a VoIP, all they've done is convert your system to a VoIP system. I they're not going to run a copper line to your home. I suspect that box, if I had to guess, is some method of connecting to the interwebs, turning your phone line into a VoIP line, but having it look and feel like a copper line, if I had to guess.
Is it possible that what it is really just kind of a PBX where it gets the voice line coming in pots?
Yeah.
And it just handles it and manages it as if it's a PBX, and then your phone is connected to that, right, and then you get the calls through it. I don't know.
It gives you the same feel.
Just tossing it out.
Right. It gives you the same feel as a phone line, but they have to connect to the network somehow. And they're either going to connect over an internet connection that's wireless or wired. And I know they're not going to connect over old copper. It's not an old copper line. It's not the old Ma Bell AT&T line. So I have to look into it further, but I have heard the advertisements, and I'm curious myself. So,
okay. Well, whenever you figure it out, let us know.
That sounds good, Chris. I'll try.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
It did seem kind of interesting. Because, again, here in New England, the land of steady habits, people just do not want to get rid of those landlines. And I hear you, you know, why you want to do it, you're used to it or what have you, but I don't know. The copper's going away. So when that landline fails, you're going to want to be cellular. You're going to be wireless. Let's go to who's next. We're going to go to Ron in Torrington next. Hey, Ron.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've got a question about, a couple questions about this Linksys WRT1900. I believe that's the router Eric used to own.
It does sound like one I had owned in the past, yes.
Yeah, and I think that's why I own it now. I followed your footsteps and bought one. But
yeah.
The problem I'm having is I have a gamer in the house.
Right.
And what he tells me is going on, I never noticed this because I don't do anything like that, but he tells me that pretty much every hour on the hour, or pretty much every 60 minutes, the Wi-Fi drops out for about 20 seconds. And he can pretty much time it out, so it happens, it just does that every 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why it's doing that. I know I noticed some notes that I made that I made some changes in the past and different things, but don't know what that could possibly be.
So it could just be an old router and the radio getting tired. How many years have you had it?
7 years now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So your gamer's going to eventually mutiny you, not murder you, but they're going to mutiny.
That's why I'm calling you, because it started.
Yeah. And they want low latency, and they want they want to be connected. Now, wireless, that old technology being so old, his new Xbox that he might have gotten for Christmas or his PlayStation is also going to want to connect at a different Wi-Fi level. They're not going to want to use the old Wi-Fi, the old protocols, the G's and the AC's. They're going to want to go with the highest speed they can get.
AX and Wi-Fi 7 maybe?
Right. So there's two things. No, this is no big deal. Seven-year-old router, you've gotten your money's worth. So what is your internet speed? What do you pay for?
I believe it's 300 now.
Okay, 300. So you want to go find another router that's out there. It's a current router that'll handle nice high-speed connections. Most of them are going to be called Wi-Fi 6 capable routers, which means you're going to be very forward. Upgradable. You're going to be able to handle faster speeds than just 300 megabits. Your gamer should appreciate it, hopefully. I would tell you go out and get another Linksys. I still have one myself. I have a Wi-Fi 6. I can't tell you the model off the top of my head, but they work really well. I've got a high speed connection from GoNetSpeed 500, and it handles it beautifully. You've gotten your 6-7 years out of that thing. It doesn't owe you anything. Pronounce it dead and get a new one and make your gamer happy.
All right. Okay. Maybe that's the answer to all of that. I didn't know if there was some settings or something I changed in the past that may have done something, but I do notice I had changed something in the past downstream bandwidth. I can't even find that setting anymore, but I changed that from 36,000...
Oh, you messed with the MTUs?
I don't even know.
Is it? It's not really going to be a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Mess with that.
Yeah. The only things that I would think of to try if you were going to try to keep this router, which I don't advise for 7 years, number one, give your gamer a DHCP reservation so they always have the same IP address.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, try to have your Wi-Fi set up to use a single channel so that it's not shifting channels.
Well, that's a good point. So 7-year-old routers are definitely not as smart as today's. So
no.
He's going to have a much better MIMO-type connection. He'll have a more dedicated connection on the newer routers. But Dennis is right. You could try to tweak it. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, and what I'm advising you to do is hunt and peck, not even going to work all that well probably.
I don't even think all the lights are lit up in the front of this thing anymore.
No.
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, it is time. I mean, it just works fine just for what I do all the time.
Right.
You've got your money's worth for 7 years.
You're right.
If you got...
So the other thing, one other question about that. I had gone in some time ago and made changes because, that router has a network map that you could bring up, and I noticed that... it would kind of identify some devices, but then so I got tired of it kind of naming or everything changing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So because I went around and actually changed the names to everything on that network map.
Nice.
So I could identify it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next some time goes by, I go back in there, look again. Now things got jumped around and swapped around.
Right.
So then I think I went ahead and put a reserve on every one of those. IP addresses for those devices, and seems like it still did it.
So that's all right. You might have run out of IP addresses too. So if you've reserved a bunch of them, you might also have an IP limit that you've hit of some kind. That's why it's hitting him, or a lease issue on the IP address. Maybe you had too short of a lease. I don't know, but upgrade. It's time to upgrade. Tell him you're going to go out and you're doing him a favor, and that way when the snow flies, he can shovel.
All right. All right, good. That's the plan. I'll go for that.
All right, Ron. Good luck.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. Yeah, 7 years is a long time in IT, guys. We're going to step out for a quick break. Gary in Florida, hang on. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock, so we're going to try to get to your calls if we can. So Kim and Gary, we're going to try to do that right now. Let's go to Gary first in Florida, like I said. What's happening, Gary?
Oh, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Great. I'm a snowbird, so I'm running two computers mm-hmm. for my regular stuff, one north, one south.
Yep.
The one in the south is running Windows 10. Everything's fine. Last summer, the northern computer crapped out, so I had to buy a new one, and it's running Windows 11. And all my Word files that I've generated over the years have suddenly been converted to Windows Word, and I can't open them without buying a subscription to 365, which I don't want.
So all your documents converted. Now, they wouldn't have done it automatically. It would have asked you, could you... Well, I mean, Microsoft is evil, but not that evil. At least I haven't seen it before. So Dennis is racking his brain here because Word documents don't necessarily change until you bring up the new application. It's going to ask you if you want to convert it or save it.
Well, I don't think they converted.
You don't?
No.
Dennis thinks something else.
I think what happened was there's a new file association with Word documents, okay?
Yeah.
And it has a new name, Windows Word, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's running a version of Word that requires a subscription in order to function. I'm going to ask a couple questions. Number one, do you have two different versions of Office on your computer?
I loaded my old faithful Windows or Word 2007.
Okay.
And it works fine. I should clarify, all my documents were not converted. They only converted about 2/3 of them.
I don't know if that changes the scenario that I'm thinking of. What I would look for in your list of programs is Microsoft 365. It'll be an Office suite that's labeled as belonging to 365. The wording for the title of it, you know, the exact title may be a little bit different, but look for that. Look for 365. And I would uninstall that, whatever it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, next step, you click on your Office 2007 listing in Control Panel.
Can't believe that
even
runs in Windows 11.
Yeah, it will. It will.
Okay.
You click on your Office 2007 listing in Control Panel, and you have it do a repair. Okay. So get rid of the 365 suite.
Reboot.
You might even have to reboot. Reboot if it tells you. If it doesn't tell you to reboot, you probably don't need it.
All right.
Then click on 2007 and have it repair itself. All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... hopefully that should alleviate your problem.
When you open up the documents, you should see them as doc files.
They'll show up as a Microsoft Word 2007 document or something like that in Explorer.
That's Dennis's theory.
Back to plain Word.
Yeah, that's Dennis's theory. We're going to stick it to it.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that I've seen where there's two different versions of Office on the computer. It's played out several times in my career. So,
and I will give that a try when I get back north, and I appreciate your help.
Our pleasure. All right, Gary. Enjoy the weather down south.
Yeah, about 67 right now.
Very nice. Rub it in. And, of course, you're probably 6 months in a day, right?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah. Rub it in. Rub it in. All right. Enjoy. Enjoy, Gary.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. I think I read a story about some California council person who wants to charge people taxes for leaving California, even after you've left. So Gary's enjoying a nice tax-free life there in Florida, rubbing it in. I want to thank you guys for joining us here on this Saturday morning. It's been great with you guys calling in. Otherwise, Dennis talked about our kids and our cats. And all my kids are grown up and out of the house. I got nothing to talk about. And then, you got a couple cats still, right, Dennis?
Yeah, I still do.
All right, so we can talk about that. But we thank you guys for joining us. We want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at Computer Talk with, over the Facebook page. If you want to be part of that, it's the Computer Talk with Tab Facebook Listener Network. You can join there, and we're happy to have you. If you follow us on Twitter as well, on X, Tab Computer Sys, it'll be there as well. So,
remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll catch you next Saturday, 9 a.m.